Thank you for coming today. It's good to see your faces. I'm getting to know your faces. I don't know the language, but I know the hearts. And just the fact that you're here shows me that you got a heart for God. That you come to meet with Jesus. And it doesn't matter about impressing me. He's the one that knows why you're here. He's the one who knows why you came. I can't do anything in my own strength. None of us have got the strength to do anything. But Jesus has. Jesus, the man who walked to the cross to let him nail him to the cross so we can receive the freedom, the forgiveness, the healing, the deliverance, the life that God's got for us. I just want you to have a look at this. Have a look at my shoes here. Look at this. Look at this mud. This is how sin will stick to you like this mud. This is like sin. And sin will weigh us down. Sin becomes heavy. And this sin will stick to every part of us. But Jesus gives us the power to overcome sin. He gives us His Spirit that gives us the strength to say no. And then the devil ends up under our feet. When you can say no to the devil, you put him under your feet, where he belongs, under our feet. He's not in us. He's no longer in us. He no longer has power over us. When we repent, to Jesus, He washes us clean. And the devil loses his power. The only power that the devil can have is when we listen to his voice. When we listen to his voice of fear. He'll come in and he'll say, "This isn't working." He'll put in doubt and unbelief. He'll try to come and steal the things that Jesus and God's given you. He'll come in to steal your peace. He'll try to steal your joy. He'll try to steal the hope. That's why we got to walk in the light. We got to walk and follow Jesus close behind. The Bible says, he who is led by the Spirit of God is the sons of God. So it's good. I'll tell you, it's good. Me and my wife, we love watching you people sing and dance to God. They don't do it like you can do it over in Australia. They're fearful. They're fearful about what people will think about them. And that's what the devil does. He puts fear. Says the fear of man will bring a snare. If you fear man, you fall into a trap, a snare, a pit. If you're trying to impress man, you're already in that trap. You've got to impress God. So you keep singing and you keep dancing and clapping. I'll tell you what, it says in the Bible that God enthrones himself on the praises of his people. When you lift up God and put him on the throne, he'll come down and he'll visit. He loves the people's praises. And as you praise him, you can feel the waves, his waves of love come over us. I know you can feel them because I see the joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we're in the world, we have no joy. We might drink to get joy, but it only lasts until the headache the next morning. We might try men and women to get joy, but that might last until the sickness and disease come, or the children we can't feed. I used to use drugs to try and get joy. I used to fill them up and inject them into myself. Sickness and disease comes through that. And addictions. It's like addictions to alcohol. We can be addicted to drugs. Lust, greed, pride. But when we come into the light, the sin starts falling off. The darkness starts to flee. And it doesn't all go in one hit. It won't all go overnight. But God reveals himself to us. And then he wants us to walk by faith. And trust. And then when we trust him, we start to grow. And he starts delivering us from our problems. He starts lifting the burdens from us. He starts healing the sickness and disease. When I first got born again, God took some addictions from me, and he took some fear and torment, but I wasn't totally clean. God revealed his power by removing things that I couldn't remove, but then he wanted me to stand. He didn't want me to sit down and say, right, I can do anything now. He wanted me to stand and start the fight. Because the devil keeps coming at us. And we got to stand, we got to fight. And when we overcome the obstacle, it's behind us. And we get the strength. God gives us his strength. And when we put behind us something that's held us down, we get stronger and stronger. And the devil starts to fear us. Instead of us fearing the devil, he starts to fear us. So, if there's a battle in front of you, don't fear it. Trust God. And say, I'm going to defeat you. You're under me feet, devil. Jesus has given me the strength to overcome you. And when we overcome, we win the victory. The victory's ours. This is about your singing and dancing. Like I said, we love it. We love watching it. You know, we take the videos, we go back home, We sit down and watch them over and over again. But we show people in Australia. I put the videos on the internet for the whole world can see. And the people in the West, they get strengthened by your joy and faith and hope. They see that though you have little in material blessings, you have strength in here. And many of the Christians, they're jealous and they're envious of that. They long for it. They desire that. Because they know that when you're praising God, God's close to you. It says in here, Psalms 149. Before I read that, I just want to say, when I was born again, like I said, I was healed of some addictions, healed of some troubles. But about 18 months later, I had disease in my body, and I nearly almost broke my neck. I got really drunk. And it's like I fell off something like that roof, straight onto my head. And I could move my neck and the bones were grinding. I had headaches. Felt like someone had stuck a knife in me back because the bones were out of alignment. But that was minor. That was minor. To me, that was minor. Compared to what God had delivered me, the demonic oppression and the torment and the fear, the suicidal thoughts, everyday suicidal thoughts, but God delivered me from them. He delivered me from the spiritual pain and the emotional damage that I'd suffered. So physical pain, you know, wasn't too bad. But then 18 months later, I went to a preacher, and this preacher preached about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. And there was a woman preacher too, believe it or not. And she was up the front. She was speaking about her story, her battle against unforgiveness. And she shared a testimony. And she told about the mighty thing that happened in her life through when she forgave her enemies. Her enemy was her ex-husband and the children. But God wanted her to forgive them. And she said when she forgave them, she was healed. And then she started speaking and said, you must, if you want to be healed, if you've got a sickness or a disease, you must forgive your enemies. You must forgive your parents and your children and your uncles and aunties and everyone that's ever hurt you. Anyway, so I sat there and I said, righto, I forgive this one, that one, that one, that one, that one, all these running through my head. I forgive those people that slander me, telling stories about me. I don't care anymore. I don't want to know. If God can heal this woman because she repented unforgiveness, then maybe he can heal me. I didn't just have a sore back and spine. My bones weren't sore. There was another disease I had. Anyway, I started to forgive in my mind and in here. And there was about 50 people sitting down. Then this woman started to say, there was an eye healed. Someone who's got a problem with their ear, they've just been healed. Someone who's got a bad leg, it's just been healed. Someone who's having nightmares has just been healed. Then she said, someone who's got a really bad pain in between his shoulder blades just been healed. And I thought, that's me, that's my pain. Then she said, someone with a problem inside has just been healed. She named this problem and I said, that's me. Thought, God's just healed me. The very next day, there was no pain. There was no disease. I'd been healed. There was no laying on of hands. There was no praying. It was just because I came to God and I said, forgive me, God. Forgive me for my unforgiveness. And God chose to heal everyone there. You don't have to come here for your healing. You can be sitting in your house. You got to let the darkness go. Let the darkness go that you're hanging on to. And God, let Jesus heal you. He's the deliverer. He chooses to work any way he wants to. He can get a man laying hands on people. Like Eric was praying. Sometimes we can pray for a minute and there's miraculous healings. Sometimes we can pray for ages and there's nothing. You know, it's hard to understand the mystery of God. But God wants your heart. You give him your heart and you'll get your healing. You give him your heart and you'll get your deliverance. You'll get your peace and your joy. I know, because I've got it. He's given it to me. It's been a fight. We'll get back to the praises. 149. Praises. When you start praising God, the devil will start running. The devil will run away. They'll block their ears. They can't stand God's people praising God. And the religious will say, you can't praise God, but you praise him. You praise him anywhere you like. Anyhow you want. He loves it. And the devil hates it. The devil hates it. It says, praise ye the Lord. It says here to sing praises, to sing praises wherever and rejoice in God. And it says, let the praises of God be in your mouth. And a two-edged sword in your hand. The word says that this is like a two-edged sword. I'll let Simon read it and you'll understand. He doesn't just talk about the praises glorifying God. He talks about the warfare that's happening in the spirit realm when we're praising God. When you're praising God, the enemy's fleeing. It says to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. So when you're praising and everybody's hearing you praise God, they're saying, what are we missing on over there? Missing out on? What are we missing? Maybe them people do have peace and joy. Maybe them people have their God is real. And it'll start playing in their mind. Plus it'll lift your own spirit. It says that they bind their kings with chains and their nobles with irons. When we praise, the devil gets bound. The devil gets gagged. When Joshua went into the land, Joshua took the people into the promised land. There was a mighty city, a mighty city. They had walls that no man could ever break down. So God got them to march around the walls, singing praises, and the walls fell down. The walls collapsed. There's strength and destruction for the enemy's kingdom in the praises, in our praises. So praise God every day. I like the way you praise God, mate. And all he is. He's all, it's a show of love. So don't ever stop it. You know, I had a word ready, but that's what came out. This is Joshua. We just spoke about Joshua. Joshua, when he came out, he crossed the River Jordan with God's people. And he came, that was the promised land. He'd come into the promised land. He led God's people into the promised land. But the promised land had many enemies. It's like us when we're born again. God's shown us the promised land. There's still many enemies. These enemies don't want us in the land. And it's not a game, it's serious. They want you all dead. They want every one of us dead. So God had to tell Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. I'm with you, do not fear. But in this land, there were giant men. There were men as high as this. Fighting men. It'd be like me standing up against this child. When David came up against Goliath, he didn't have any armour. The armour of man wouldn't fit him. He said, I come against you in the name of my God. He was only a young boy, probably 16. Goliath the giant was a fighting man. There might have been 100,000 of the enemy. Goliath was the strongest, the fastest, the quickest, the best. And all of God's people, they feared. But one man who trusted in his God, one boy, and his brothers were saying, what are you doing here? You're meant to be looking after the sheep. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine, who does he think he is? Coming against the armies of God. So this boy, who had faith, and he trusted in his God. He picked up some stones. He had a sling. He went at Goliath and conked him right there, right between the eyes. Goliath fell down. David ran in, cut his head off with Goliath's own sword, stood on him and held up because he trusted in his God. He held the sword up. This is the sword of the Spirit. We need to learn this. He held up Goliath's head and all the enemy ran. A whole lot of them ran away. It says that we need to be simple and like little children when we come to God. Just like David came to Goliath. He had no fear. Fear wasn't speaking in his mind. How many of you are still letting fear speak in your mind? How many of you still got the witchcraft things in their house? Or the rosary beads hanging up somewhere? How many are still listening to the voice of fear? Because God says we can trample serpents and scorpions. And we can have power over the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt us. When me and my wife were first saved, I'll share a bit more of my testimony. We were poor. We were still smoking cigarettes. I'd stopped drinking alcohol. I'd stopped taking drugs. The day after I was born again, they went. Gone. We were still smoking. We were still doing the wrong thing. But we were trying our hardest to serve this God. We didn't really know him. We'd come to him and we decided, we'd made up our mind to trust him. And we could see him working in our lives. We could feel him working in our lives. I can't remember if I've told you this or not. We had chickens, guano. We had about 10 guano. And we used to eat their eggs. And an old man used to bring some scraps from the shops. He used to bring two bins full of scraps. And we were poor. We'd tip them out, me and my wife. We'd go through them. We'd scratch through them like the chickens do. And we'd say, wow, look at that, an apple, praise God. Praise God, or an orange, or some bread, or vegetables. And we go, thank you, God. Because we noticed if we were short of something, every time these things were in the chicken scraps. And we thought, God's surely putting these things there for us. We weren't complaining about what we never had, because we had nothing. We were praising God for what He was bringing into our life. It was little by little, bit by bit. We'd already praised Him for destroying the addictions in our life, destroying the fears in our life, for bringing us closer together as a man and wife. Bit by bit, He added. Then one morning, we were praying for our own house. And I walked out in the kitchen and I said, God, I don't care if I got to live in a tent for the rest of my life. And I meant it. I wouldn't have cared if I had to live in that thing there. Because of my addictions, I'd lived in things like that. I had to live in things like that. It was the peace and joy that He put in my life that made me say, I don't care where I live. I don't care if I got to live on the side of the road. I'm just glad I got you. And I meant it. I meant it. I truly meant what I said. And within about 1 month, maybe less, God had put a whole house in front of us. It cost about one quarter of the price they usually cost. He had a man come knock on the door and say, here, you want a job? And within about 2 months of me coming to God with honesty and truth, he's increased our material blessings. Within 4 years of us being saved, we owned our own house. And now we own our vehicles. Our families have been restored. Our health's been restored. Our lives have been restored. We're healthy. We got peace of mind. If you wanna stick with God, and many don't, many will come, like Eric said, many will come in this week. Say, you give me, God, you give me. Then they're gone next week. You stick with God, He'll deliver you and He'll heal you. Bit by bit by bit. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small. But He'll deliver you constantly. You'll gain strength, you'll gain ground. You'll start to learn the authority you have over your circumstances. The authority you have over the devil. He'll rebuke, it says in here, when we give to God. And it doesn't matter if it's money, time, effort, praise, joy, whatever. It says He'll rebuke the devourer. The devourer's working hard in Africa. It's the devourer that's bringing sickness, poverty, torment, fear. But God says if you come to Him, He'll rebuke the devourer. He'll rebuke with His own mouth. And when God rebukes something, it stays rebuked. It stays down. So Paul said, we must endure. We must endure. We must hang in there. And though your troubles might seem so big, when you conquer them, when you gain the victory over them, you look back and they're so small. And then when you've come down the track, you can look way back and you realize how weak you are and how strong He's made you. You realize how weak you were back there, because you get stronger and stronger and stronger. God says He wants us to be the head. We're to be the head. not the tail. He don't want us down there. He wants us up here. Who wants to be this? Who wants to be down here? Nobody. He wants us to be the head. Where Jesus is our head. But he gives us the confidence and courage and boldness to make right decisions. He gives us power, love and a sound mind to do the right thing, to say the right thing. So I'm encouraging you, you can try anything, you can go anywhere, and you're never going to find what this God can give you. You're never going to find what he can bless you with. So there'll be many battles. Hang in there. Be strong. Like he said to Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. And you'll start to trample Satan under your feet. When the light comes, the dirt will go. See, the dirt's gone. The dirt's gone. That's how sin will fall away. Sin will fall away. You'll walk. When you stay in the light, the darkness will disappear. So I just want to give you that word to encourage you. Every one of you people, no different to where I was. You know, there's many blessings in front of you. Have faith and have trust. Trust in him because he knows you. And he loves you very much. If he can forgive me, he can forgive anyone. And he has. If you've repented for your sins are forgiven. Don't let the devil tell you they're not.